Well, I want to welcome you to this worship service today for Barbies Grove Baptist Church. 28th of February, 2021. Gracious, how time flies when you're having fun. It's a great day to be in the Lord's house. For those of you that have driven over to be in the parking lot, I know that you had to go slow because of the fog, but we're glad that you're out there in the parking lot. And for those that are listening later online, we're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us today. Every day that we have is a gift from God. Every day that we have is a day to serve the Lord. Every day is a day to worship the Lord. And we thank you for joining in. And we pray that today that the Holy Spirit will just bless you, speak to you, encourage you, instruct you, whatever you need, that He'll meet your needs. May we pray together. Father, as we bow in your presence this morning, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that you are the great and mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. Thank you, Father, for your blessings in every area of our life. Thank you, Father, for giving us life. Thank you for giving us a Savior, Jesus, who died on the cross that we might be saved and have everlasting life. Thank you for the promised home in heaven that are for all who love you and serve you. Father, we pray for all that needs to be taking place in this service today. Father, I pray that the music, the scriptures, the message, the prayers will be led by the Spirit of God and that they will touch the hearts of the people. Lord, this is your day, your service. We want Jesus Christ to be lifted up, honored, and glorified. And we pray in His name. Amen. Well, Brother Leonard is out today, and so I'll be doing the announcements and the mentioning the hymns and those kind of things. So today for our first song, I Must Tell Jesus. I Must Tell Jesus. If you know the words, sing along with us.
Tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell help me, Jesus of Lord.
We do miss having Brother Leonard here with us today, but he's spending some much needed time with family. And so we miss him, but we pray that he'll have safe travel as he goes and as he returns. Appreciate Brother Wes being here once again to take care of us. Appreciate Brother Jeff taking care of the sound for a couple of weeks while Brother Wes was not able to be here. Couldn't do it without him. Now, I tease Wes that sometimes if Leonard doesn't show and I don't show, then he can just take a microphone up there and he can run the sound system and preach from the balcony. Yeah, I think he'd do a great job. Now, he may say not, but I think he'd do a great job. But we're so glad that you're with us today. Just want to remind you as a way of announcements that we continue with the service where you can listen on the parking lot at 10 a.m., 99.1 FM, or you can go to the webcast after around 12:30 in the afternoon and listen to the same service. Also, I think that most of you probably got a one call this week that the deacons, acting as our sales agents, have accepted an offer on the parsonage, and in the one call you were given the amount. If you have any questions or you didn't get that information, if you'll call your deacon, then he'll be sure to fill you in on what you need to know or what questions you might have. For our prayer request, do pray for traveling mercies for Leonard and Donna as they go to see their son and return. Pray for Karen Brown, a teacher who has cancer. We need to be praying for our nation. There's so much going on in our nation, laws being passed and proposed and stimuluses and COVID and all kinds of things going on. We need to be praying for our nation as we never have before. And we need to be praying for the Lord to send laborers into the field to reach those who are not saved. Then always pray for me and for your church. And if you're listening and you are a member of another church, pray for your pastor and your church. But also pray for us. Now let's pray together. Father God, as we bow in your presence, once again, we thank you for your love, your care, your ministry to us. Father, I do pray for Brother Leonard and Donna that they'll have safety as they travel, that you'll watch over them and care for them. Father, I pray for Karen Brown, this teacher that has cancer. I lift her up to you that you might be very near to her, that you might touch her and be with her family, that they'll feel your presence even at this very moment. And Father, we do pray for our nation. We pray for the godly people in our leadership that they might stand for what's right. We pray for those who may not know you that they might come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and live what's right. Father, I pray that you'll give wisdom and guidance in every decision that's made. Father, I know that as I look at Bible history and world history, there are times when you moved that people said, it can't happen. But it did, because you intervened. And so, Father, we pray for your intervention in our nation to bring about a move of God, a revival. Father, I pray that lives might be changed and that this nation might become a more godly nation than it's ever been. Father, we look back at some times in past American history when revival came. Father, may those seem like just showers of blessing. And may we see the deluge of blessing. The deluge of the power of God and the presence of God and salvations in a nation that rises up and honors the Lord Jesus Christ and reaches out to reach the world in an end-time harvest that will bring in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, today, we pray for our nation. Father, we pray for our church. I pray that I'll be the pastor that they need. I pray that each of our deacons might be the kind of men that you would have them to be. I pray for every member of this church, Father. You know what each one of them needs, what every situation is. Father, some of them may be physically ill today. Some may be hurting. Some may be lonely. Some may be rejoicing and just being blessed. But whatever their situation today, Lord, I know that you love them, that you care. And Father, I pray that today you'll be with every member of this church. And Father, I pray for those who stand in pulpits around the world to proclaim Jesus Christ today. May they walk and preach and teach in your anointing. May the Holy Spirit go out and touch the lives of those who listen. May folks have ears to hear and hearts to understand. And Lord, may Jesus Christ be lifted up and honored and glorified this day in this world that belongs to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For our special praise song today, Miss Tonda's going to be singing, My House is Full. And you listen closely to those words.
There is peace and contentment. Food on his table.
Thank you, Tonda. That was a blessing as usual and very timely as a message that I hope everybody will be listening and thinking about as I preach this morning. I was thinking back when I was a young teenager, our church and a lot of churches and Baptist churches had what they call Bible drills. And the leader would call out a Bible verse, and the first person to find it was to step forward and read it. And the better you did, then you could be a winner in your church, and then in the association, and then go to a state Bible drill and get some kind of award. Well, this is one of those Bible drill sermons. You may want to get your pen and pad out and make a note of some of these scriptures, or you may be real fast and be able to get to all of them. But I want us to look at a number of scriptures this morning, and they all go together. They're important. Now, before we start looking at the scripture, let me remind you that this is the time of the year when farmers and serious gardeners are preparing for a harvest. And you say, now, no, wait a minute, preacher, they're preparing to plant. No, they're preparing for a harvest. I mean, after all, they're selecting the seed that they want to harvest. They're selecting the fertilizer to have the best harvest. If they're going to use some kind of pesticide, they're selecting that which will lead to the best harvest. If they're changing oil and fueling up the tractor, they're getting ready to plant so that there can be a harvest. If they're tuning up the planter, they're getting ready to plant so that there can be a harvest. Everything that they're doing is preparing for harvest. And while they're preparing all of the seed and tractors and planters, they're praying, Lord, give me some dry days to plant. Then, Lord, give me enough rain and sunshine to make the crop grow. And then, Lord, give me some dry days to harvest. It all has to do with the harvest. And the maximum harvest is on their mind. If they get done at the end of the year and the harvest has been poor, they're not as nearly as happy as when they get done and the harvest is wonderful. If I ask you this morning, what's on God's mind? What's on God's heart this morning? What would you say? I know that you're on God's mind. You're on God's heart. That song, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind, is very, very true. You are on God's heart this morning. But would you be surprised if I said to you that harvest is also on God's mind? God is interested in the harvest. What harvest are you talking about, Preacher Ed? He's talking about people born into the family of God. Sometimes we use the word souls, born into the family of God. He's talking about people that come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and who are going to spend an eternity with God in heaven. He's looking for a harvest. In fact, God is focused on a maximum harvest. First scripture we want to look at is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And Peter, as he's coming to the end of his life, he's coming to the end of his ministry, and he wants to emphasize one more time this thought. Verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is his day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing but that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now earlier Peter said something about people scoffing and saying, where's the Lord? He said he was coming back. Why has he not come back yet? You guys don't know what you're talking about. And then Peter says, listen, God doesn't see time as we see time. We see, you know, one day, and that may be 1,000 years in God's eyes, or 1,000 years maybe seem just as one day. But he said, God is not slack. God is not holding off as far as the return of Jesus, except for one thing. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everybody to be saved. He said it's the long-suffering of God. It's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God that Jesus doesn't come and leave a lot of people lost. He wants us to come to be saved. And he says God delays that coming for one more person. One more person. One more person. One more precious person to be born into the family of God. It's God's will for the harvest to come. The harvest is on God's mind. Think about some of the things that Jesus said. What did he tell Nicodemus in John 3:16? God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Luke 19, Jesus said about himself, the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus said, I've come for one purpose, to save those who are lost, to seek them out, to find them, and to save them. In Matthew 20, Jesus says in verse 28, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus said, I came to die for a lot of folks. And if you're listening to me this morning, you're one of those folks that Jesus came to die for. He came to die for you. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, and this is a verse that, or a couple of verses that you may want to turn to. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. Luke 4, beginning at verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Then he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Jesus, all of these verses and so many others that I could look at, Jesus kept saying, my purpose is to win people to the Father. The story of the 90 and 9. 99 sheep are in the fold, but one is lost, so we've got to go find it. We've got to seek it. We've got to bring it back. We've got to get it into the fold. So many things that Jesus said about himself and about what he came to do pointed to the fact of the harvest. The harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. The harvest. Well, turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll read about what Jesus did to accomplish that. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you also have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you that first of all, which I have received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul sums it all up in just a couple of short sentences. Jesus came and he died and he rose again for our sins. Jesus not only said during his earthly ministry, I have come to seek and to save the lost. I have come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. I have come to give you eternal life. Jesus also said, I've come to die, to give my life a ransom for many. And that's exactly what Paul says he did. And you know the stories of the crucifixion and the resurrection. Jesus dying on the cross. He was guiltless, sinless, perfect, had no reason to die except he loved you and he loved me. Had no reason to die except to take our place, pay the sin debt that we couldn't pay, and to give us eternal life if we'll believe him and choose him as our Lord and Savior. He came and he died, and the resurrection validates the fact that his death paid for our sin. Yes, Jesus had harvest on his mind. I think it's over in Hebrews where he says, Jesus Christ, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. You see, Jesus looked to the harvest and all the pain on the cross, all of the beating, the crown of thorns, everything pointed to the harvest. And Jesus went through all of that for the harvest. And you and I are the harvest. Old song, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he died alone for you and me. Yes, yes, yes. Jesus had harvest on his mind and he had you and me on his mind as a part of that harvest. Now, we know what Jesus did, what he said. Now, what did he instruct us to do? John 4, verse 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. Jesus said, look unto the harvest. Look out there to all the unsaved, unbelievers, all the people who mock God, all the people who don't know God, and see the harvest. And don't say, well, the harvest is some other day. No, the harvest is now. The harvest is ready now. The harvest is ready now. And then in Luke's account of this, in Luke 10, verse 2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus said, you pray for the Lord of the harvest, Father God, to send laborers into the harvest. And friends, I assist you to do that. Pray that the Father God would send laborers into the Barbies Grove field to harvest those that need to be part of the family of God. Pray for the Father of the harvest to send forth laborers into the field that's Oakboro and Stanley County and North Carolina and the United States and the world. Pray, Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers into the fields to harvest those that need to become a part of God's family. Now, don't be surprised if the Lord says, you could be one of those laborers. You could be one of those laborers. I want you to be one of those laborers. I was thinking, could you be somebody's Philip? You remember the story of Deacon Philip? He was doing a revival in Samaria, and the Lord said to him, go down on the road that leads to Gaza. And Philip could have said, now wait a minute, Lord, I'm having a great revival here. But no, he was obedient. There he met a man from Ethiopia, a man who was a high official in the Ethiopian government. And the man was reading from Isaiah, and he didn't understand it. And Philip explained to him, and the man came to know Jesus. You see, that Ethiopian needed a Philip to explain the way of salvation. Could you be Philip to somebody? Is there somebody in your acquaintance that has questions, that doesn't understand, that seems befuddled by spiritual matters? Could you be their Philip? Could you be their Philip? The Lord says, pray for Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, and he may send you. Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. Will you be willing to say that same thing? Lord, here am I, send me. Not only did Jesus say, look at the harvest, not only did Jesus say, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, but Jesus also sent laborers. In Luke 9, verse 1, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. In Luke 10, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Jesus. First he sent out the 12. And they came back, and then he sent out 70. So that's 82 that he sent out only two by two to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. He says, pray, see the harvest, pray the harvest, go. Then, of course, you know Matthew 28, go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. In Mark's version of that, in Mark 16, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming with signs following. You see, Jesus told us to go. And then in the book of Acts, verse 8 of chapter 1, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus said, listen, start where you are and keep reaching out. Keep reaching out. And you remember over in the Gospel of Matthew when Jesus is talking about the end times and signs of the end, he said the gospel be preached into all nations or to all ethnic groups, and then the Lord will return. Folks, we're getting close. We're getting close. More and more Bibles are being translated into more and more different languages. Missionaries are going into tribes that have never heard of Jesus, parts of the world that can't be reached except by radio and shortwave radio and other types of transmission are hearing about Jesus. And so the gospel is going out And we need to be ready and we need to be prepared and to be a part of that harvest. We need to be a part of that harvest. Now notice one thing there in that 8th verse of Acts 1. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You see, Jesus promised us the power for the harvest. The power for the harvest. In talking with some of the older members at Barber's Grove, and immediately you'll know who you are. When you were kids or young adults, you picked cotton in some of these fields right around the church. Oh man, it was back-breaking labor. Drag that cotton sack down the row and pick off those little bowls of cotton one at a time. Sometimes it made your fingers bleed till they toughened up. It was tough work. Now, you can take one of these modern cotton picking machines and do more in 15 or 20 minutes than a person could do all day long. What's the difference? The power. The power in that machine, the technology in that machine can do so much. And sometimes we think, oh, witnessing is hard. Going out and knocking on doors and talking to people about Jesus is hard. But we forget that there's a power. The power of God, the power that flung this universe into existence, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power that was the power behind Peter and John and James and Paul is the same power that is yours and mine. And we don't have to pick cotton by hand. We don't have to work by hand. We have the power of the Holy Spirit living within us to reach the harvest that's on the mind of God. This week, one day I went out to the mailbox and picked up the mail, came in, and as I usually do, I was sorting it in my pile and Pam's pile, and I looked and there was a nice letter addressed to both of us. And, you know, it was hand addressed, and the return address was written in hand, and it was a nice thick thing. And I thought, I don't recognize the return address or the person whose name's there. I wonder what this is. So I eagerly opened it up and immediately saw that it was propaganda from an unchristian cult. And I threw it in the trash. And I begin to think, this cult can't do its usual recruiting activities to bring people into that cult that will lead them to hell. But they didn't quit. Second thought that came to my mind is how many lonely people, how many people that are afraid during this COVID time, how many people that are mixed up and befuddled will read that and be led astray. The third thing that I thought about was this. Do I and do we have the same zeal to witness for Jesus that these people have? Are our thoughts on the harvest? Is the harvest on our mind? God is focused on the harvest. Everything in the plan of God was the harvest. Because he wants a people to spend an eternity with him in fellowship in heaven. Now, I don't preach this message today just to lay a guilt trip on you. Please don't take it that way. I preach it because I need to hear it. Every so often, I just need to be reminded, Ed, there's a purpose behind everything you do as a pastor. And it ought to be the harvest. Now, we pray for people. We encourage people. We teach people. We do a lot of things to minister. And we should. I mean, you know, you see in the life of Jesus, he preached, he taught, he healed. He cast out demons. He did a lot of things. You see in the life of the disciples, they did the same thing. They preached, they taught, they healed. They provided meals for the widows. They took care of the orphans. They did all kinds of good things. But the end goal was the harvest. And so I need to be reminded often, Ed, the end goal is the harvest. If people are not being born into the family of God, then why not? The harvest needs to be our priority. It needs to be my priority. It needs to be the priority of the church. And I pray that it's your priority. We all are gifted in different ways. We all have different opportunities. But folks, God's heart's the harvest. May our hearts be the harvest. If you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're part of the harvest that God cares about. You're one of those that Jesus died to save. And I pray that today you'll give your heart and life to Jesus. You'll just realize, oh, God loves me so much. He loves me so much. And I pray that you'll come and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again. And I confess you as my Lord and Savior. And for those of you that are listening to me that are believers, lift up your eyes and look into the fields that are white to harvest. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into those fields. And be willing to say with Isaiah, here am I, send me. Be willing to obey like Philip. I don't understand it, Lord. But if you say go, I'll go. Fathers, we bow before you today. We know harvest is on your mind. Keep the harvest in front of us as well. And Father, we do pray for you to send forth laborers into the Barbies Grove harvest field to bring people to Jesus. Father, help us to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to where you would lead us to go and people to whom you would have us to witness or to share or to explain or to teach. And Father, we thank you that we don't do it in our own strength or our own abilities, our own power. But thank you, Father, for the precious Holy Spirit who gives us supernatural power for the harvest. And thank you, Lord, for the harvest that you're going to bring, that you are bringing. And thank you for that end time harvest that's going to usher in the day of Jesus, the trumpet blowing, the rapture of the church, and the beginning of eternity. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. May his countenance beam down upon you. May he give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.